This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today. With each new advance in medicine comes ethical dilemmas, from fertility treatments and newborn screening to vaccinations, gene therapies, and euthanasia. But rare diseases and the expensive therapies needed to treat them, particularly in an age of scarce economic resources, almost always entails tragic choices, warned Dr. Abraham Steinberg, an Israeli pediatric neurologist and Talmudic scholar at Jerusalem's Sheir Zedek Medical Center. He went on to state the following, quote, "In the old days, the question was, is there enough water for everyone? Antibiotics, dialysis machines, ventilators for everyone," end quote. Steinberg told this message to 100 delegates who attended the Second International Congress on Advanced Treatments in Rare Diseases, held between March 4th and 5th in Vienna, Austria. He went on to state the following as well, quote, "We were quite successful in eradicating infectious diseases with antibiotics and vaccinations. Now, we live in a genetic era where the purpose is to see if we can eradicate disastrous genetic diseases. But we have to go carefully because it can lead to unwanted consequences," end quote. Rabbi Abraham Steinberg, MD, is an Israeli bioethicist. Steinberg, praised by the journal The Lancet as a leading light in faith-based medical ethics, is the co-chair of Israel's National Bioethics Council. The 71-year-old Orthodox rabbi is also the associate clinical professor of medical ethics at Hebrew University Hadassah Medical School in Jerusalem and winner of the prestigious 1999 Israel Prize for his seventh volume entitled Encyclopedia of Jewish Medical Ethics. Steinberg argued that modern medicine has brought about an enormous increase in life expectancy and that people with serious chronic diseases, as well as disabled newborns, can now make it into adulthood with the help of very expensive therapies and medicines. The ethics of genetics, a field some have dubbed genetics, frequently deals with difficult moral questions. For example, if a woman knows that she's carrying a child affected by Tay-Sachs disease, an extremely rare fatal genetic disorder, should she be allowed to abort the fetus? Most rabbis would say yes, as long as the abortion occurs within the first 40 days of pregnancy. Other problems arise, for instance, when a patient is diagnosed with a serious illness but refuses treatment, or another one has a terminal disease and wants to die with dignity, but their family opposes the decision. From a societal point of view, however, perhaps the biggest ethical problem of all is one of equitable distribution. Steinberg says this means how to distribute healthcare when drugs for rare genetic illnesses, such as spinal muscular atrophy or Batten disease, can cost $700,000 a year. Steinberg made the following statement, quote, "In an ideal world, there would be absolute equality. It's the fundamental right of every citizen to receive every medical treatment that they deserve, according to their individual condition. But in doing so, it will undoubtedly reduce the level of medical care for all citizens," end quote. Steinberg stated that any fair system must take into account the needy and less fortunate in society, particularly the weak groups who don't have big lobbies or political power. He said that we try to teach our medical students to think economically. If we have the option of life-saving versus life-prolonging, it seems life-saving should take priority. But in many instances, the prolongation of life for an individual might be as important as saving the life of another one. If two treatments are equally effective, but one is cheap and the other expensive, everyone understands that you should go for the cheap. But he also emphasized that the lives of rare disease patients are just as important as people with diabetes or hypertension. Creating medicines for very small markets is very costly, yet the fact that it involves a small group of people does not reduce the ethical obligations to treat them. On the other hand, when resources are scarce, there is no ethical justification to deny effective treatment from the many just because the few are consuming large benefits. One solution, Steinberg suggested, is to encourage governments to reduce the cost of medicines by offering pharmaceutical companies incentives like tax breaks, longer periods of patent protection, and a speedier approval process. Through special legislation, governments also could allocate funds for rare disease research. Steinberg concluded his comments with the following statement, quote, "But none of this takes away from the moral obligations upon drug companies to participate in saving lives. They should look to make money somewhere else, rather than at the expense of rare disease patients, who are usually a weak part of society." End quote. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, April 23rd, 2019. When it came time to plan for my brother's bachelor weekend festivities, I was adamant about participating as much as possible. Events like this aren't always inclusive for people with disabilities, but the two guys who planned this weekend wanted to make it accessible for me. I knew from the start that I wouldn't be able to do everything on the itinerary, but we made sure that I would be included in some way. On Friday, April 12th, my mind was still reeling from the excitement of the new Star Wars trailer to pay much attention to anything else. I knew we were supposed to start the weekend with dinner and a Durham Bulls baseball game later that night, but I was too focused on the implications of Emperor Palpatine's laugh at the end of the trailer to care. That night did present more than a few challenges. When my brother-in-law Evan came to pick me up, it had started sprinkling outside, and we saw only clouds in the sky. By the time we made it to Durham to meet the guys for dinner, it was steadily raining. For those of you who faithfully read my column, you know that I previously have detailed the intricacies of driving a power wheelchair in the rain. Armed with ponchos and an umbrella, Evan and I raced from the parking deck to the restaurant, which was a couple of blocks away. I still got wet, but I was able to dry off once indoors. We ate at a nice burger joint downtown, and I was sufficiently entertained by the group's corny pirate jokes and one of our guys' drunken rants about Star Wars The Last Jedi. Don't worry, they used their Uber services all weekend. Technically, I was the only person in our group who was drinking and driving. As the rain went from steady to pouring, we correctly predicted the game would be canceled. It was good timing, given that one member of our Animal House crew forgot to bring the tickets with him. I've known these guys for years, so I was fully prepared for their shenanigans. With no real backup plan, they decided to go to a nearby bar for a little while and then head back to their Airbnb for the night. I attempted to get into the bar, but between its limited accessibility and the heavy rainfall, I told Evan that it wasn't going to work. Being the nerds that we are, Evan and I decided to head to a movie theater and see Shazam for a second time. Unfortunately, heavy rain and SMA are a bad combination, but I told my brother Brian that I'd be back the following day for more festivities. Day 2, indeed, was much more successful. My dad drove me this time, and the weather was warm and sunny. First, I met the guys for a drink, or two, at one of our favorite breweries in downtown Raleigh. Unlike the bar from the previous night, this establishment is easy for me to get in and out of, and it has plenty of space inside. We hung out there for about an hour, and then headed to lunch at one of the best barbecue restaurants in North Carolina. As we spent the afternoon hanging out, watching the Carolina Hurricanes playoff game, and simply enjoying each other's company, I was grateful for the inclusive spirit during one of the more important weekends in my brother's life. This group even rearranged the afternoon schedule so that we could watch the game at an accessible venue downtown, instead of trying to get me up the Airbnb's multiple steps to the front entrance. I'm often reminded of the limitations that SMA slaps on me when I'm out in public. Whether it's an inaccessible venue, or I can't get a ride, being left out of something is never fun. This group, however, proved that with a little flexibility and by asking for my input, any big occasion can be made inclusive. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.